It's February 11th, and you're listening to WHRB Cambridge. Today, we're so excited to invite the brilliant Georgian violinist Lisa Batiashvili to our WHRB studio. She first gained international recognition at age 16 as the youngest ever competitor of the Sibelius Violin Concerto, and she now performs regularly with the most renowned orchestras all over the world, including the Berlin Philharmonic, the New York Philharmonic, and of course, our very own Boston Symphony Orchestra. She records exclusively with Deutsche Grammophon. Thank you so much for joining us today on your day off, Lisa.
Thank you. It's fantastic to be here.
I was so lucky to have heard you last Thursday evening performing the Szymanowski Violin Concerto with the BSO under the direction of Andras Nelsons. I was wondering if we could start by telling me a bit more about this piece. So firstly, did you choose this piece or did the BSO choose? And secondly, have you performed the piece before?
Well, I did ask the orchestra if it would be possible to program this fantastic concerto because the first time I ever played it, it was last year on a tour with the youth orchestra, by the way, in Europe, which is it's called Gustav Mahler Youth Orchestra, a very famous youth
orchestra. I've heard of it.
And they programmed it on a tour through Europe, and it was the first time I performed it, and I fell in love with this piece extremely. It's just a phenomenally surprising piece because you don't know always what to expect from music by Szymanowski, and it is so romantic and so beautiful, so in some ways also very sensual, and it's a lot about fragility, human fragility, and the tenderness and love, of course, and also despair and everything. It has a huge capacity of expression, and at the same time enormous orchestra and lots of players on the stage, and each of them have their own voice. In the beginning, it really sounds like a sunrise and little birds singing, and you have so many colors in this concerto. So yes, it really became one of my favorite pieces now.
For our listeners, we'll be listening to a recording of the Szymanowski Violin Concerto following this interview. So Lisa, maybe you can give our listeners a bit more context on the piece. So what is your personal favorite part of the piece? And then what is the greatest challenge presented by the piece?
The big challenge is, of course, as usual, the balance between orchestra and the soloists, also bringing things together because there's a lot of tempo change and you have to be very flexible. At the same time, you have to breathe together. And my favorite, there are a lot of favorite spots, but I would say the very end, the very last phrase, and sometimes it comes back to this beauty.
To
and the whole tutti, last tutti of the orchestra is quite amazing. And then the ending of the violin. This music is like, it's 13 in one movement. So it's very unified in a way from the beginning to the end. There isn't really a moment where, you know, you can get bored or whatever.
That's really amazing. Moving on to a more general question, as a soloist, you must be traveling all the time. I wanted to ask you, how do you balance travel with practice? And for example, if you have rest days like today between performances, do you have a particular routine or does it really depend on what place you're visiting?
Well, the big question is how to balance my life as a musician and also my family life, because that's these days a big challenge. I have two kids, where they are 10 and 14, and I have also other responsibilities, like I'm now artistic director of a big music festival in Germany, and this will be my first year, so I'm programming it now. I'm just about to finish the programming, and it is true that, you know, you're older you get, more experienced you are, but at the same time, you have to be very efficient and be able to, you know, give the time that you need for the most essential things in life. And this is for me the biggest challenge. When I'm on the road, it happens so that I have much more time for myself than when I'm at home, because of course I'm busy with the children and their life. On a free day in Boston, I will certainly be able to rest a little more and sleep and do some sports and practice. I like also to walk around a little bit, especially in this fantastic city. And, you know, the time flies. So by the time you've done everything you need to do, it's the evening. So I don't really kind of get the moments where I don't know what to do, unfortunately.
Do you have any particular practice routines or tips for practicing efficiently, maybe for any musicians listening?
Of course, yeah. This also changes with the age. I think that it's very important to know what you really need in that moment and how far do you want to get on that day. Because you have to accept that you cannot achieve everything in 1 hour. So for me, for example, I still start slowly, practicing slowly the difficult passages. And then always quite important to play through if you can, because that's exactly what we lack when we practice the experience of playing the piece through and memorizing it. And even if there are maybe some spots that you're not sure about it, you always continue playing. Mm-hmm. And that is, I think, especially for going on stage, quite an important experience that you have to make. And I think that the contact with your own mind and mindfulness is important, which will guide you into what you really need to do on that particular day.
It makes a lot of sense. So as a fellow violinist, I've been a fan of yours ever since I heard your recording of the Brahms Violin Concerto, actually. I wanted to ask you, what are your favorite pieces in the violin repertoire, such as your favorite concerto or favorite sonata, and then why?
Hard to say, because we are so lucky and we have really fantastic repertoire that we can enjoy throughout the whole life, because there is one thing about learning a concerto when you're a student and then coming back to it and then even later when you have played it many times, I think there is always so much to explore and get inspired by the other musicians you play with. Brahms is a good example because that's also a piece that develops with the musician together. And Sibelius Concerto, certainly. I love Bartok Concerti, both. Shostakovich, number one. And now also Szymanowski. There is, and Beethoven, certainly. And I also play a lot of Bach, because Bach is for me something that, it's something that you start when you're very, very young and you never stop, because when you get older, you still need that music. And in this world today where there is so much happening and we're moving so fast. Mm. Sometimes we don't even have time to think about what we're doing. I think the connection with Bach, it's a little bit like for other people, if they go to the church and they take the quiet moment and they think and then pray. For a musician, I think Bach is something a bit similar. And that feeling is something that I don't want to miss. So I like to go back to Bach.
You talked a little bit just now about shifting from playing a piece as a student and then playing as a professional soloist. What is that shift like? I know for you it came at a young age, coming from playing as a student to performing on big stages. Is it difficult to transition from becoming a student to being in charge of your own interpretations and everything like that?
Yes, it's very difficult. And I don't think there is anybody that will say that it's not. Then it would be a lie. I think it's a constant self-criticism, hard work, acceptance, experience, learning, also getting to know how other people deal with that, and how, listening to other people, very important, but also listening to your own voice. There are so many aspects and there are so many stages in life. I think we should also know that everybody has his own age or moment where this person moves forward and suddenly maybe it makes a click and you understand something that makes you feel much more comfortable about being on stage. And this is very important, not to rush things. I think even if today everybody wants to do things very early, we should also know that if we start everything very early, we might finish also early. And the idea behind being a musician is to actually develop throughout the whole life. And even when we're 50, 60 years old, to find some new aspects in your personality, in your playing, that you haven't had before. And I have been, talking to great musicians like Alfred Brendel or Daniel Barenboim, who are now both over 70 years old, and they both said, and also some others from that generation, that it was very important at a young age to not to be too tired about what one was doing, because it gave them the energy in later stage to actually give more. And at the end of their at the end of his career, Alfred Brendel, and now at this moment, Daniel Barenboim, they are been so active, like a 17-year-old, because they still had this energy and, let's say, motivation to move forward.
Yeah, they're both incredible musicians still. Moving on to your own recordings, I wanted to, maybe this is a difficult question, but I wanted to ask you.
Challenge me.
Which recording are you most proud of and why? And choose carefully because we may be broadcasting this for listeners after this interview.
Well, each time I make a recording, I try to make it for unique in my own way. Let's say it has to have meaning, personal meaning, professional, musical meaning. And usually I work with people that I really, really love a lot. So it would be impossible for me to choose just one album. Maybe the Bach album I am most proud, because I was a bit afraid of recording Bach, because I have so much respect and everybody has his different style of performing Bach these days. It's kind of a little bit hard to decide. But at the end, each album on Deutsche Grammophon was a hard work to put together. And at the end, it was really worth it, because it was really each time with very special musicians. And I think for me, that's always the most important thing, to be surrounded by people who actually inspire me to play differently, or to surprise myself by the result, because that's what they give also. They add it to the whole recording.
What is the timeline like for a recording? How far in advance do you have to start preparing the piece and rehearsals?
You know, these days it's impossible to plan properly a recording, because unfortunately the record labels are not as stable and strong anymore as they used to be. So you have to be actually quite lucky to hit the moment where there was an orchestra available for and the conductor, and you know, you can go to studios, or you can make a partly live recording, and this is a very difficult procedure this day. So sometimes it can be planned a year or two ahead, but it's very rare. Usually it all comes together only in the last, within the last 6 or 8 months, and then you really have to be very efficient, because we don't have much time. It's always very expensive to book an orchestra. So in a way, a recording procedure is quite unexpected and stressful. But if you're lucky, and especially if you're with great musicians, then you kind of know that it will be still fine, and it will, you know, you can still express yourself in your recording.
And when you prepare for a recording, is it different in any way from preparing for a live performance, or is it kind of the same practice?
I think that when we prepare for recording, it's a little more detailed, because we want to make sure that everything is there, and because we don't have so much time, we need to know that at least when I play it a second time, it has to really be perfect. And we pay, because people pay more attention to the details in the recording. So I would say it's a little more intense, the preparation.
Mm-hmm. Nowadays, the classical music world, as you said, is so competitive. In your opinion, what are some of the qualities that can set a soloist apart, besides practicing a lot, of course?
Wow. I cannot take responsibility for that answer or question either, because I must say I'm glad I'm not 18 now, because everything is online and everybody can show himself, you know, on these platforms, and it's really hard to have an overview about who is doing what. I still think that the main thing about being an artist is to first of all, to be surrounded by other great artists and make music together. And even though you have to accept the times and the different kind of evolution of the new generation, very important to have your own view on things and take time on learning, on experiences, also on failures, because I think if we cannot allow ourselves to have the bad days and bad moments in life, then there is no way for an artist to develop. So I think everything that we see online, the perfect life of a musician and just the successful concerts, that actually a young musician shouldn't really take it too seriously, because that's often just the surface that we see, and that's what people show. So in reality, I think every artist's life, whether it's a musician or a painter or a writer or whatever, it's always very complex, and it's supposed to be complex. If it's not, then it's just an efficient person, but not a real artist. So I think it's very, very important to remind yourself of the complexity of artistry and just keep doing it.
That's amazing advice for any musician and artist. I think we're almost out of time, but my last question for you today is, do you have any particular upcoming projects or concerts that you're especially excited about?
Well, I try to pick the projects that are always very exciting. So I'm going to Israel next week, and then I'm going to go on tour with Camerata Salzburg, which is a wonderful orchestra in Salzburg, and where my husband will be conducting, because he's oboist and conductor.
Oh, wow.
And then I'm back to in US beginning of April. I'm going to Chicago with the Chicago Symphony. And then the other project that I love is with the Santa Cecilia Orchestra in Rome. It's a fantastic orchestra, and we are going on a European tour. So these are the next 2 or 3 months.
Wow, very busy schedule. Well, thank you so much for making time for us.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.